Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I've had one too many cigarettes, burning up my lungs. Had to taste of one too many lips, hanging off my tongue. Oh, oh, oh. Sunday morning getting high, drinking here alone. Thinking up a brand new alibi for not coming home. Oh, oh.
People who, like the founder of the show, recognize they're on a dangerous path and make the difficult adjustment to be an amazing person. Share poems that reveal the duality of our vulnerability and strength. Capture the internal battle of the demon and angel on your shoulders. Deep poetry, thoughtful commentary, and fun chatter for sinners, saints, and everyone in between. This is part sinner, part saint, part of Late Night Poets. Late Night Poets is a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. And we take contests from All Poetry to pick our poems to feature. All right. So, today, Babbler is away. We will have some people joining us in a little bit. But for now, I'm going to dive into the poetry. Now, our first prompt, actually the prompt for today, is, maybe the demon doesn't whisper my name out of anger, nor to taunt me. Maybe it whispers out of despair, a throbbing hope to be heard by an angel, and to learn how to love. So that was the contest quote, and what it is it's an image that has that quote, and it has a skull that is very spooky looking with a tongue hanging out. And the quote is by Burkana Vuno, who unfortunately I couldn't find more information about. I just happened to find this particular quote, and it drew me in. So let's find how other people felt about it. I'm going to start with one by Vicky Moore, and it's called My Demons. My demons. I held tight to the demons I carry, for they scared me with their anger. Screaming my name for so long, they suddenly began to whisper. No longer do I hear their insults, their tormenting words against me. All I can hear is my name, whispered softly, calling to me. Maybe they want to be free of me, as I want to be free of them. Those demons of my past. So I forgive myself for my mistakes. I wrap the demons in love, and I feel them fly away. End poem. Well, I like this, Vicky. I like how it's about forgiving yourself and those things that were haunting her were her mistakes. It was those things that she wasn't proud of that kind of lingered, calling to her, reminding her of what went wrong. And by choosing to move on from them, by just not trying to hide, but to see them and to send them on their way, acknowledging that she learned from them and to have them fly away. I think that's some really good use of the metaphor there. Very well done, Vicky. Our next poem to the same prompt is by Akiko Socks. All right, The Demon Uninvited. I sent out invitations to all my friends. I expected to tie loose ends. They arrived at exactly midnight. We all get into a drunken fight where I saw a demon that night. It didn't faze me through blurry vision. It didn't whisper to help my decision. It looked at me without a problem. I saw it through an empty bottle. It's why the demon doesn't throttle. Maybe the demon doesn't whisper my name out of anger, nor to taunt me. Maybe it whispers out of despair, a throbbing hope to be heard by an angel and learn how to love. It's why I look towards her. End poem. So it looks like Fox put the actual prompt right in there for that last stanza, which was interesting. And I like that it's looking at the empty bottle. So you can tell they've had some drinks, and that is leading them to contemplate who they are. And the demon seems to be themselves. They're looking at their reflection. So when I look towards her, she's seeing her reflection and wondering about if it's time for her to make peace with herself. So I thought that was a nice response to the prompt. Interesting that she put it right in there. I would put quotations around the part that is inserted, but I think that she did a good job at making that fit very smoothly into her poem. The next one is called Whispers in the Wind. I'm just going to load that up here. And I have a caller. Hello, welcome. May I ask who's calling?
Hi, this is Blue Leader 1.
Hi, Blue Leader. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. So we were just about to read Whispers in the Wind, and then after that poem, I'm going to jump to your poem from the contest. So I'm going to start off with Maria XS, and this is Whispers in the Wind. I visit my sister's wall daily, nightly if I'm feeling crazy, with a silent candle in my hand. I whisper to the walls. They always understand. The wax melts faster than I can talk. The candle burns brighter than our walk. She doesn't speak to me. She doesn't write to me. Something doesn't feel right. I whisper to the candlelight. The candle doesn't speak. The walls aren't weak. My sister's wall is visited daily with so much talk. It's like spilled gravy. The breeze inside our open room is why I believe I'll see her soon, with clouds keeping us apart. I know there's more on this wall of art. What did I not speak to last night? Did I not hold the candle right? I whisper to the walls. I make sounds against the floors. I know she's moody today. The wall tells me that's her way. She's not one to wake up with a smile. I've been missing her for a while. I whisper to the doors. I scream inside the floors. I become muffled against the walls. When he moved in, they asked for more. My sister cried on her wall with tears like an emoji. I felt the pain inside the koji. We were forced to eat it all. Now I just whisper to my wall. And poem. Blue Leader, would you like to start our comments?
Could you circle back to me?
Yeah, okay. So, I thought this was interesting. My impression would be that the sister has passed away, and the way that she's mourning is by speaking to that wall where she associates with her sister, and the candle burning faster, the wax melting faster than she can talk, means that she's talking all night, like that there's a time for that candle to melt away, which is a pretty strong statement of time. I like that it does that rather than list the hours. To show time passing through the candle burning works really nicely. And that recognition that, like, it's not, her calls are not answered, and there's the silence that is, oppressive. Nothing speaks. She's waiting for something from the candle, from the wall, just waiting for some kind of response that would show that there's some kind of connection there. And it seems like she's at a loss where there isn't a response. And then to feel her sister in the weather, in the wind, is also really strong. You get a little bit of context at the end that there was someone who moved in, and that led to a pain for her sister. She's crying. Now she's just left alone to whisper. So it's interesting because in the prompt, the demons are whispering to you, and in this case, she is the one whispering. So in a way, she is the demon, and yet she's calling for the angel of the sister. There's little X's all the way through, and Maria has told me before that those little X's represent the stitches, stitching her mind and her heart back together. Those little X's are putting all of her thoughts and feelings together. So I thought that was beautiful, that it's the stitches, like she's sewing her words. Are you ready, Blue Leader?
Sure. Thank you, Faviana. So I'm just reading this now, so I really haven't had a chance to think about it very much. So it's just going to be like a surface kind of observation. Personally, I like the short lines, the stanza breaks. That's right up my alley because I do that a lot myself. It's got a little bit of rhyming to it, which I like. The only thing, again, just a service comment, is that it seems to lack a certain cohesion. Like, I'm not sure it's very clear what she's trying to say, at least at my first read. But other than that, I like it. Thank you.
There is an abstractness to it, but I think that works if it's, you know, kind of a ghostly affair or a feeling that doesn't have a firm grasp. But you're right, it is very abstract. I've put your poem up, The Heart Burns, if you'll read that for us.
Okay. Oh, okay, so, sorry about that. The Heart Burns. Darkness. A voice from the outer world. Voices from the outer world. A choir singing the most beautiful harmonies. I don't understand the words. The melody is heavenly. The voices sublime. Yet, I know, without a doubt, it is the deepest evil from the depths of hell itself. In my sleep, I fight. The ancient solemn spirit holds a grievance, an implacable hatred from the coldest intellect, a rage of angels that burn souls. Will my soul burn? I don't know. But I do know that my heart is on fire, incandescent, and will never stop. End poem.
Great read. I like how you talk about the voices as if they are a melody that sounds really beautiful, because it makes me think of the sirens, like in ancient Greek, where the beautiful singing will lead you to your destruction, drawn in by those beautiful harmonies. So that had like a mythology kind of feel to it. And then to recognize that the deepest evil sometimes is deceptive. It might seem tempting or like a positive thing, and the road to hell is paved with good intentions is a cliche for a reason. And then I like how you use the kind of temperature, coldest intellect, makes me think of kind of like, okay, I'm showing my geek here. I'm like Vulcans, like Spock, very, very kind of unfeeling and serious, or like almost robot-like in the firm, just focusing on fact rather than giving in to feelings. But then a rage of angels that burns, the heat of passion that works in negative passion too, the rage. And I mean, biblically, angels were actually quite aggressive in the Old Testament, at least. Was not the sweet, white-winged, fluffy things that people tend to picture now. They're avenging and very fierce. So it kind of, like, pulls into that. And to wonder, you know, if you'll burn, if you'll be punished in the afterlife, and know that even if you aren't, you're burning in life. There's that that fire in the heart already, that incandescent is a good word, that will never stop. So excellent. Thank you for sharing. I'm just going to let Gray in. I think this is Gray. Unmute him. Welcome, Gray Eyes. I think. Is that you, Gray? You may be muted.
Sorry, yes, it is. Hi.
Hi.
I apologize for being tardy, but my dogs kept me on the walk. They just wouldn't stop smelling the grass. Or eating the grass, sorry. Smelling the flowers and eating the grass, so I apologize for being late.
You gotta take that time to smell the flowers. It's all good.
But that was a fantastic write by Blue Leader One. It really speaks to being hypnotized by the voices that emanate from the dark, singing this choir-like, lulling, sensational song to you, and just hypnotizing you until the very end, where you don't know if your soul will burn, but you do know that your heart is on fire, incandescent, and will never stop. So that's just a wonderful write. It's a testament to avoiding the traps of the darkness, regardless of how magical they may seem. But fantastic read as well.
Thank you so much. Very kind of you, both of you and Faziana. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Faziana,
I'm going to put you...
I know...
Yeah? Sorry?
I'm sorry,
what?
Real quick. I know you didn't say yes or no, but is there any chance I might read that other poem?
I want to see if we can get through the ones for this contest, and then if our first prompt we have a chance to share those that were submitted, then yes, we can do a second one for you. It's I just want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to be featured.
Okay.
Great. Can I get you to read the poem by PG that I just posted? You're so quiet. I think you're muted again. We may have lost Greg.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm here. I apologize. I was halfway through the poem when I realized that it was on mute.
Oh.
So that's not good. Not a way to start the show, but anyway, here we go. This is called Dark by PG. Dark, loathsome, lonely, trapped within. A malevolent soulmate, soothsaying, whispers. Overwhelming chagrin. Deep affliction, anger, bestowed. Desiring love, lashing out in wrongful throne, in vengeful throes. Pain projected, hurt, despair, imprisoned, alone. My darkness, my ego, my madness, laid bare, end poem.
Great read, thank you. The really short lines here make you ponder each word. So to have loathsome by itself just like makes me think about the meaning of that word, and when it does things like chagrin or vengeful throes, it really makes you focus on each individual section because there is that pause of the line break. So very short poem when you think of how many words are in it, and yet it uses a lot of descriptive words. I think there was some good word choices there. Blue Leader, would you like to comment?
Yes. So I agree with you. He does say a lot within a very short word count. Normally, I like this kind of structure that he does, like putting a single word on a line. But I think overall, I'm not sure that works quite well here. But, I mean, I like his word choices, like you said, and he does say a lot. But I don't know. I think it needs some work.
We can always grow, all of us. Gray, what did you think?
I think it was wonderful. I actually like the style of the poem. The word flow is quite simple yet, you know, involved. You know, it's capturing the essence of his darkness, which is a wonderful thing to be able to do in such a short poem. So I thought it was fantastic.
Excellent. So now I'm going to read one by Ben Hart, and this one is called Even Demons Dream of Dancing Free. 1. The Heavy Head. She says she has demons, that when it's not schizophrenia, it's another family to please. More people who don't need you, who make you feel hollow, because they see right through, who say they'll show you freedom if you would only just give up. Please don't listen to them, love. They're just purple cats trying to keep you from leaving because they need you to feed them, envelop you in another empty promise. Another round of dysphoria, because somehow it eases all your heavy, all your unmet needs, to feel so empty. Question your every reason, call coincidence luck, and merit somehow unmeant. I know you're a goddess trapped in my restless head, and that yours just weighs, aches, makes up reasons to go to waste, suffocates, inventing traumas that better people may have had. And I know you'll always be something that never happened, but you'll never be the one who got away. Because even if your demons went to war against me and mine, I wouldn't succumb until I had found you amongst a million men to die a death divine. Darling, it's not immortality, but you, the god of my youth, that was the reprieve, the spring of the poppy across my every battlefield. And I'll probably either die swinging, laughing at my own joke, or quietly grinning through the pistol smoke. All my life, I was a hindrance, the obstacle. But that's their favorite joke, attacking the oracle. That my pain is not a prophecy, that those baptized in hurricanes will be the last to understand that love is a journey. Because when they're strapping me into that gurney, I will not need the morphine. Just don't leave me. Please don't leave. Because life is change. But that is not for me. And I am in mourning. But I don't know what is grief and what is love any longer. So perhaps I just am a demon by another name. And I meant to be this way. Why is it killing me, mistake after mistake? Shudders suppressed into unconsciousness. Voices screaming, we're just manic monkey men who would only die for his friends because it sort of suits them and him as well to play the martyr once again, but this time not sticking around to see his sacrifices dismissed. And so we're busy seeing if they'll go through with it, if there's truth to it, rather than ask someone if they're okay. No, really, are you okay? Because I know lately, it's always about me, even when we don't know what to say. Just demons with wrath in their wake, and they don't mean to, but every time they think they finally found a place to stay, somewhere they're safe, they end up destroying everything. 2, the chest. No man's land tattooed across the chest, that many a man saw as a place to conquer. But I found it to be a place to crawl, the center of a ravished universe so tender. The mortal man could hold it in the palm of their hands and feel how deep water runs in the well of woman, where you didn't pay for your dreams in coin or worship, but in love and patience. Surrender when she needs, to see monsters on their knees, but also someone who can rise to the roaring blaze of her phoenix heart that reinvents itself with every scar, that goes to war against the dark and may need few good men to sacrifice their unborn sons. They still get to love one good daughter of God's. Oh, Muse, you make my soul drunk. The intermission between heartbeats feels like months, but also like herds of horses, black as the flood, charging from one bloody defeat into another fool's folly. Love, sometimes I look up and see another star die running, just when I thought nothing ever died unloved. No man's land became a lie, and love itself died. Because the lie wasn't mine, just the pain, in some morose rhymes. And I understand that you're only the phoenix, because I am your ashes. And I know that sounds like a threat, but you know I'm not that brave. And I can't tell what I would say if I had been. So far, all I've come up with, please stay. End poem.
Well, what a fantastic read. Yep, what a fantastic read, Epinesia. You know, this is a really personal poem. You can feel the depth of this coming from his soul. And there's pain there, you know, but there's also beauty. And I guess that is life, you know. So perhaps I just am a demon by another name. And if I'm meant to be this ugly, why is it killing me? Mistake after mistake, shudders suppressed into unconsciousness. Voices screaming, we're just magic monkey man. You know, that's deep. And then the whole poem is a powerful write. You know, it's very personal, I feel. And so far all I've come up with, please stay. You know, it's haunting. It really is. You know, we all have our demons, and you know, we can learn to accept them and deal with them, then we can be better people for that. And you know, hopefully we have somebody strong enough to stay, even though we, you know, we're all demons in some way or another. And I thought it was wonderful, powerful personal right. And thank you for sharing, Ben. And what did you think, Blue Leader?
I like the line, let's see, what is it? I like the line, they're just purple cats. I think it's a very complex poem, definitely. I like his stanza breaks, and then the way he labels like different sections of it. I've done that before in poems, not lately that much, but I mean, I think it's a device. It can be very effective. It's interesting to me how the last stanza, he breaks it all up into each individual line, right? There's like a space in between each line of the poem. I'm not sure if that quite works, but it's very interesting to me. I like it, and I like what he says at the end. I mean, it seems to be talking about like a codependent relationship. So he really lays it out there. Thank you.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Blue Leader. And Apeziana, what did you think?
I love Ben's writing. The way that he words things and just brings it to life. I don't know, there's something about his phrasing that really makes it sink in for me. He writes a lot about multiple personalities and hearing voices. So when he talks about schizophrenia in the beginning, I don't know if it's something he has personal experience with or if it's just something that he's explored in artistic ways, but I kind of think when he read the quote about demons, he took it as kind of those voices that are telling you what to do, or your different sides that are questioning things. So I'm not totally sure if there are actually two people in this poem, because he does say, I know you're a goddess trapped in my restless head, and that could be because the woman's always on his mind, or it could be one of his personalities. Now, I'm being influenced by his other poems, so that's something, but I like when it talks about makes up reasons to go to waste, suffocates, inventing traumas that better people may have had, and I know you'll always be something that never happened. And the when he's talking about inventing trauma that other people had, it's one of those things where you try to convince yourself you didn't have it that bad. It's like, yeah, I was sick, but, you know, there were other people who were more sick than I am. Yes, I had an emotionally abusive relationship, but, you know, there were other people who were getting beat up a lot worse than I was, so that's different. And you just kind of, like, excuse the things that happened to you because other people probably had it worse. And it's a way of, like, kind of dismissing things and moving along. So that's what I thought of when I read that part. And then he kind of gets into a dark humor about suicide. I'll probably either die swinging, laughing at my own joke. I took it as hanging himself and grinning through the pistol smoke. To all my life, I was a hindrance, the obstacle. So in a way, he might be feeling like he is in everyone else's way and wants to, you know, not be the problem. Or maybe he was a hindrance to himself. He held himself back. And when I say him, I might need the narrator and not Ben himself, the point of view of the poem. And then it is interesting that the spacing changes for the second half. I like the way that it talked about his relationship with the woman here, his connection. Some people saw it as a place to conquer, so it's like the men who are in it for the chase, but finding it as a place to crawl, having more of a comfort and a long-term, like more of an intimate connection that is not so much focused on the sexual, even though there are definitely some sensual undertones in some of those parts. And then there's that longing at the end of please stay, and just not wanting to be alone or to lose that part of comfort. So I thought this was really powerful and a long piece, so I feel like I actually probably needed more time to process it, but it was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
Very sweet comment. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Now, there's one by Jenny the Deep, and Blue Leader, it's your turn to read, if you're willing.
Sure. Give me a moment to find it. I'm not as adept as you guys are. One moment. Is it closer to the top or the bottom, would you say?
Oh, I posted it in the group. So if you're in Late Night Poets, it's the most recent post.
Right, but I'm not.
Where are you?
Well, I'm on the site, you know, looking at it, trying to find it. So, okay, I think it's closer to the top. Hang on a second. Oh, here it is. Whispering Demon, is that the one?
Yes.
Okay. Whispering Demon by Jenny the Deep. Whisper to me, demon. What is it you're needing? Are you here to haunt and torture? Or are you lonely and need company? Your red glowing eyes disturb me. Don't hurt me, and I'll help. In my ear, just whisper. Demon, I keep whispering. If you shout, I'll cower. Is it my blood you are craving? Your breathing stings extremely like a dragon's. One more chance is what I'll give you. If you don't wish to harm, then I'll help you.
Thank you for reading. For those of you who are just listening and not looking at it, it has a really interesting shape. It's two diamonds on top of each other, so it creates kind of an hourglass. And that form is, she says in the comments, a riftimeter. So that's a nine-line syllable structure. And it starts with two syllables, and then it goes up each line by two more syllables until it starts going backwards. So it's really interesting that it has that shape. And I think that's a big challenge to add when you're writing a poem, is to have to think about the syllables in that way and to gradually grow and then get down again. I personally would find that too limiting. I would lose track of what I was saying trying to figure that out. But I think she did a good job at making it cohesive despite the challenge of making your lines change their length in that way. So well done, Jenny, to be able to get a story into such a form. Great. What did you think?
Well, I thought you did a wonderful job reading that, Blue Leader, and I enjoyed the poem. You know, it speaks to Ben's poem about demons, you know, and feeling like a demon. But, she loves this entity regardless of its label, you know. Your breath stings extremely like a dragon's. One more chance is what I'll give you. If you don't wish to harm, then I'll help you, demon. You know, it's a wonderful right. It captures the need of the demon to connect as well. So I thought it was fantastic. Great read, Blue Leader.
Thank you, bud.
And Blue Leader, would you like to comment on the poem as well?
Sure. So I like, as you were mentioning, the form, you know, if you're reading it on a page, it is very unique and creative, I think. And with the restrictions that she had to work with, I think she did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Our next poem is by Weaver of Dreams. And Gray Eyes, would you be willing to read that for us? You're muted.
Okay, here we go. Sorry. Pray for me, Weaver of Dreams. And she has a picture that says, maybe the demon doesn't whisper my name out of anger, nor to taunt me. Maybe it whispers out of despair, a throbbing hope to be heard by an angel and learn how to love. There's something inside this house, sorry, this Pray For Me by Weaver of Dreams. There's something inside this house with me. It knocks, scratches, gibbers, and moans within the walls, the attic, and the cellar. At night, I can hear it wherever roams. Hissing my name with vehement venom, what could I have done to warrant this? Then all changes. My name is whispered. I hear sounds of regret I cannot dismiss. In frustration, I call out, what do you want? You seem to know me, but I don't know you. In a rough, rasping voice comes the answer. I am a nameless demon, one of only few, who can remember another world and time when we had white robes and a harp and wings. I need someone who will pray for my redemption, to let it be known that I now regret many things. Tell me, why would I associate with such pure evil? Are you saying you have some connection to me? I am your ancestor, once good, fell from grace. If you can pray for me, I can rise again and be free. End poem.
That was a fantastic read. I loved that performance where you did the different voice for the demon. I'm glad I got you to read that one. I really enjoyed this. I like that she used the word gibbers or gibbers because I was not familiar with that word. And looking it up, I like that it speak rapidly, unintelligibly through fear or shock. And I do that all the time when I'm nervous. I talk really fast, so I need to know that word. I can describe it. Love it. I like that it used the kind of ancient view. I was going to say mythology, but like depending on people's beliefs, could be their religion, the demons were just fallen angels. They all started off as angels, and then they, if they fell from grace, and then they would become the demon. So that desire to get out of the demon life and become good again is, I mean, it fits the prompt very nicely, but she does it in a nice storytelling kind of way. Her descriptiveness of the rasping voice turned out nicely because you actually got that. And then I like that it talks about being the ancestor because, I mean, our ancestors are quite varied, you know. We like to think of them as wonderful sometimes, and yes, we did, you know, get a lot of knowledge and opportunities because of our ancestors, but also, you know, our family histories are not always so great. I mean, I definitely have ancestors way back who I'm sure did things that I'm not very proud of, and I think that could be the case for you know, tons of people, because history is full of atrocities. So to recognize that there is a connection to someone who has fallen from grace, and then there's opportunity to help them get out of that. I thought that was interesting. Makes you think. All right. Blue Leader, what did you think?
I like the way the poem is structured, like two lines, then a break, two lines, then a break. I found that very interesting. Might want to try that myself sometime. And the way it definitely tells the story. The only thing I have trouble reconciling in is that, because it feels like, you know, he is talking to himself or herself. They're talking to themselves, the person talking to themselves, kind of like their own devil, I guess, inside of themselves. But then it throws me when he's talking about an ancestor, because so I'm not sure if angels had ancestors. I mean, if you were a demon, so that's kind of confusing to me. But I liked it overall. Thank you.
And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
I thought it was fantastic. I also liked the layout of the poem with the couplets. But, you know, it really is a harrowing tale, you know, to have this presence in your house, you know, that you can hear it where it roams, where it scratches, knocks, gibbers, and moans. In frustration, you call out, "What do you want? You seem to know me, but I don't know you." And then you find out that it's an ancestor who's a demon because of choices made. And I thought it was wonderful. You know, I mean, she might have taken poetic license on being the ancestor of a demon, a.k.a. angel, just fallen angel. But, you know, that's fine. I mean, it was wonderful. It was very engaging and well written.
Well said. The next poem is by Sophie X, and it's called Maybe the Demon. Maybe the demon. Call me the reason. It's almost Halloween season. I've given up the share fair. It's part of what makes it aware. It's forever stargazed and stare with what looks like Frankenhair. Demon. Yellow kaleidoscope eyes. Feasting on information, like maggots in confrontation. I'm staggering towards the demon. Its shallowness is the reason. My friends don't see the demon. They tell me to feel the reason. I tell them my mind is made up. It's never stopping. It's never stopping for anyone, not even the stoplight. Friend, she's slightly losing her mind. I've run out of batteries. We can't have this happen. If the lights go out, the demon will shout. The scream will echo through the walls. I can't have the demon. The demon must stay away. Remove it from your mind. The flashlight we will find. Just please try, friend. I'm already at wit's end. Maybe. Maybe the demon. Sharp teeth. Nightmarish claws. Myself, the angel. I'm the reason. End poem.
Beautiful read up, Ephesiana. And I like the poem. Maybe. Maybe the demon. Call me the reason. It's almost Halloween season. I've given up the fair share, the share fair. It's just, it's part of what makes it aware. It's forever stargazed and stare with what looks like broken hair, with Franken hair. And then I really like demon. Yellow kaleidoscope eyes, feasting on information like maggots in confrontation. I'm staggering towards the demon. Its shallowness is the reason. My friends don't see the demon. They tell me to feel the reason. I tell them my mind is made up. It's never stopping. It's never stopping for anyone, not even the stoplight. You know, and then she goes on to maybe the demon, sharp teeth, nightmarish claws, myself, the angel, I'm the reason. Her author's note says, my friends, sorry, I need to put this in the desktop mode to read this. Says in her author's notes, my friends aren't always understanding me as a person. I'm trying to express to them that I'm going through hard times. They just look at me like some kind of monster. I've tried to give them the benefit of the doubt. They always tell me that I shouldn't scream too loud. They tell me there's a demon inside all of us just waiting to get out. My other friend tells me that I'm an angel without demons. I guess that's why I love my other friend. Whew, that's pretty brutal, you know, to be haunted by a demon and to share that with your friends, and you're just told, you know, to suffer it, you know, just don't scream too loud. There's a demon inside everyone, all of us, waiting to get out. And my friend tells me that I'm an angel without demons. You know, I guess that's why I love my other friend. Yeah, you know, that's a great friend to have, you know. Whew, definitely hard-hitting. What did you think, Blue Leader?
I liked it. I think it's a good poem. I like the rhyming. I'm not always a fan of rhyming, but this one I definitely seems to work. Very well. The only thing I didn't found a little disconcerting was the very end of the poem, right? Because it's a line break. Myself, the angel, I'm the reason. I'm not sure I understood that or how that directly related to the rest of the poem. So I felt like that needed more of a transition. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Blue Leader. And Ephesiana, what did you think?
I thought it was interesting how it had the different perspectives. So it was broken down into demon and friend. And then the maybe parts, it's like it's not a specific person's perspective for those parts. It's like, what if that's happening? It's kind of the imagination of and curiosity and uncertainty. When it says... never stopping for anyone, not even the stoplight. That made me kind of think of, like, the call of the void, where it's like if you have that moment where you're standing on a cliff and you're just like, what if I jumped? Or if you're looking at traffic and you're like, and if I stepped into this, I would die. It's apparently quite common for people to have those moments. If she's going through a hard time in terms of, like, depression, that happens more. Even if you're not suicidal per se, if you could have suicidal ideations such as that, where it just intrusive thoughts come a little bit more often. So that was kind of the impression I got, was she was having those moments. And because she was having those moments, she wondered, is there a demon who's making me do this? And to have your friends not really understand and to look at her like she's a monster, if she's trying to explain those moments of, like, the call of the void and it's freaking them out, then she's not getting the support that she needs. I think she created this in a kind of metaphorical way, using the demon to represent potential mental illness or struggles. I thought she did that really well.
Great comment. Thank you, Adriano. Excellent read as well.
Thank you. So the next one is by Princess Alicia. And Blue Leader, it's your turn if you would like to read.
Okay. What's the poem called?
Demon Imaginary Friend.
Demon Imaginary Friend. Okay. One moment, let me locate it. And I'll jump right on it. Demon Imaginary. Okay. Okay. So I pass right by it.
I will send it to you.
That probably would be faster.
Okay, I sent it to you.
All right, let me find it. Oops. I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay, if you can't find it, we'll get Gray to read it.
No, I got it. So, Demon Imaginary Friend by Princess Alicia. Headphones covering my ears. Silence heard while juggling beers. I hand these drinks to every version of me. We look towards each other with glee. I'm as happy as can be. There's no whisper in the liquid I sip. There's no name out of anger. It's just drip, drip, drip. It's how I feel when I backflip. The world rotates with my rotation. I try to show my initiation. He backs away slowly. He looks at me with surprise. There's no angel in telling these lies. Out of despair, I no longer hear whispers in the air. To be heard by an angel, he sure is lucky. I count every version of me. I'm feeling lucky. End poem.
Great. Thank you for reading. I like the onomatopoeia of drip, drip, drip. And I like that it describes that feeling of the backflip, because there's this certain kind of like anticipation when you're about to do a backflip, that it's that little bit of fear, the tingle down your spine, because you can't see what's behind you. And, it's a little bit more dangerous to flip in that direction. Although I always found it easier to backflip than to front flip for some reason, maybe because I can't see what's coming at me. But yes, I liked that she described it that way, because sometimes even if it's just a conversation or emotional thing, you get that little tingle like you're about to do a backflip. And I like that she used that as a description. Now, mind you, it's been probably 20 years since I've done backflips, but let's pretend that it hasn't been that long. I like that she talks twice about the versions of herself. I had these drinks. I hand these drinks to every version of me. I count every version of me in the beginning and the end. So contemplating the different sides, and the demon is just her own kind of dark side. It's like the opposite of the conscience. So, I mean, it's in our opening statement of the show where it's the demon and angel on your shoulder, and we're talking metaphorically, and I think she is here too, where she can see the different versions of herself and kind of decide what one is going to be ruling her judgment. And having that kind of meetup, imaginary pub, where they all hang out and talk about things and decide what's what. And there's no angel in telling these lies. Like, lying to herself, which, you know, people do quite a bit. So I think that's a really interesting perspective there. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, you did a fantastic job reading that, Blue Leader. But, you know, I thought the poem was deeply engaging. You know, it really captures the imagination with when she says, "I hand these drinks to every version of me. We look towards each other with glee. I'm as happy as can be. There's no whisper in the liquid I sip. There's no name out of anger. It's just drip, drip, drip." Wow. That's definitely beautiful. Definitely thought-provoking and engaging throughout. So, great write.
I agree. Blue Leader, what did you think?
I agree with Gray. It's a very engaging poem, definitely. It tells a story, and I like it, and I'm actually with it all the way up until the end. The last three lines kind of threw me. I'm not sure what they mean, but up until that point, I'm right with it, and I like it. Thank you.
All right. Gray Eyes Smith, I'm going to get you to read our next poem, which is Among Peers.
Okay, sure. Okay, just one second, please. I'm just commenting on her poem. And I'm just last word. All right, here we go. Okay, so we have Among Peers by Marvis. I do not think demons operate the way we've been led to think. They do not tempt us with pleasures of flesh, nor drive us to the needle or drink. They rest within our very souls, present from the moment of birth. They help us to dissolve, discover ourselves, and to last, to test our soul's true worth. Fighting with them does no good, the shadow boxing at least. And the angel on the other shoulder is there to grade the test. So listen to your demons. Their darkness lights the way to who you truly want to be, for what price you're willing to pay. End poem.
Thank you, Gray. I really like the concept here that you need to have that dark side of you to be able to contemplate your good side. If you're never feeling the dark, you don't have anything to test yourself on to think. You need the balance to be able to have those moral decisions. I like that it says their darkness lights the way, which sounds like a contradictory statement, but it's a really interesting concept. And the angel needs something to argue with, and I like that it's described as shadow boxing. I thought that worked really nicely. And if you want to figure out who you are, you have to figure out who you don't want to be. And that's part of the process of discovering yourself. So I thought this was really cool. Blue Leader, would you like to comment?
Sure. Thank you. So I really like this poem. I think it really says something in a very cohesive and concise way. I mean, it's really deep if you start to contemplate it. You know, your dark, you know, your other self, your dark side, something you have to make peace with. I think that's what it's trying to say. And that's very profound. So I think it's a really good poem. Thank you.
Back to you, Gray Eyes. What did you think?
Well, I enjoyed both of your comments. You know, I got the same message from it, that, you know, we have to accept the darkness that's inside of us in order to find the light and, you know, pay that whatever price it is to make it to that point where you find the light, you know. Even though you still cast a shadow with your darkness, you know, you are creating light, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, with us being on the air tonight, you know, we're bringing light to people, even though it is carrying a darkness to it, you know. So that's beautiful. You know, there's the flip side to everything. So I thought that was great.
Me too. I feel like it really goes with the vibe of the show, which is kind of about how complex we are and how there's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad in everybody. The next poem is going to be 5 digits in the demon. And I'm sorry, my internet is kind of hiccuping, but I will post it in just a second. This is going to be by Sophia Stars. There it goes. Okay. 5 digits in a demon. I dress my toes with little costumes. I draw smiley faces on them. I'd wiggle them as they dance the hula. I'd make myself laugh inside my room. I don't know why a demon visits me. I guess it's the soul of the friends I left. It doesn't look like a demon. It looks like an angel that lost its wings. My parents tell me stranger things. I'm always thinking a demon is dad. That's why I dress my toes. I dress them because I want to smile. I want to make my friends laugh. The only person who smiles is me. I once had a boyfriend who smiled once. He said my smiley faces on my fingers. That's the ones he loves the most. I asked if he likes the smiley faces on my toes. He told me that's gross. I moved forwards from him. I found the demon didn't whisper. I had his throbbing hope. I tied myself with rope. That's when I saw it. The angel with 5 digits before it. He was gentle and kind. Just like the boy I can't ever find. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Okasiana. And I enjoyed the poem. I dress my toes with little costumes. I draw smiley faces on them. I'd wiggle them as they dance the hula. I'd make myself laugh inside my room. I don't know why a demon visits me. I guess it's the soul of the friends I left. It doesn't look like a demon. It looks like an angel that lost its wings. That's wonderful, to see it as an angel that lost its wings as opposed to a demon is pretty powerful to me, because, you know, you're seeing through the demon to what it is, and that's an angel that lost its wings. And then, you know, the only person who smiles is me. I once had a boyfriend who smiled once. He said my smiley face is on my fingers. He said my smiley faces on my fingers. That's the ones he loves the most. I asked if he liked the smiley faces on my toes. He told me that's gross. I moved forward from him. I found the demon. Didn't whisper. I had this throbbing hope. I tied myself with rope. That's when I saw it. The angel with 5 digits before it. It was the gentle and kind. Just like the boy I can never find. You know, heart-wrenching, sad, but beautifully written, though. Great job. So thank you for sharing that, Sophia Stars, and great read, Fisiana. And what did you think, Blue Leader?
I think it's an excellent poem. It's very much fun, very intimate, very, very personal. It tells a story. The only thing I wonder is what the 5 digits are. Does anybody know?
I think it's the fingers or the toes.
Yeah, I was just saying toes, but
I was wondering if it might have been like a phone number, maybe an area code. I don't know. I'm weird like that, I guess.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys.
All
Linda Pigeon, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. It starts off so whimsical, with the little toes in costumes. It actually sounds super cute and funny. I would be friends with this person. but then there's, I think the demon is, again, depression in this, or kind of that lurking dark sense of yourself kind of thing, like your poor self-esteem. And she's reflecting on how the boyfriend thought that she was being gross with her toes, and now she's the only person who smiles, but it's a little bit forced. She's trying to make the demon smile. She's trying to get that smile going again. But then the part that scares me is I had this throbbing hope and tied myself with rope. So that sounds like maybe hanging herself. But I could be over-dramatizing it because my mind goes dark places. And then the angel with five digits before it is gentle and kind. So five digits before it, I thought, was the hand, because originally she had the little smiley faces on her hand. And I think maybe she's looking in the mirror and she has this kind of like happy, beautiful person who's has the hands up to trying to make someone smile, and she sees it herself. She sees her own gentleness and kindness, and hopefully because of that doesn't use the rope, and she's still kind of mournful that she hasn't found a boy who appreciates her for all of her whimsy quirks.
Excellent comment, Patriciana.
Thank you. So that was the first contest, and it we did get to do all of those. So, Blue Leader, if you would like to read your second poem that you had asked about, then you can do that now. I'm just going to find the link so I can post it in the chat. I think you had messaged it to me earlier.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that one was, what poem is it that you wanted to share?
Cottage in the Western Night.
Okay, I just got to find the link to that then. One second. Cottage, search. Cottage. So this is a bonus. It was not in the contest, but because we have Blue Leader with us, I'm going to post that here, and you can give that a read for us.
Okay. So this is Cottage in the Western Night. I wish I had a home with a creek and a copse of trees. I would settle for a small plot on a hill in the sun, with a view of water. Failing that, a small rectangle of ground in the shade of a small tree, peaceful, quiet place with an occasional breeze, a place where I could rest after a long and fitful chase, a place where dreams that were blown by the winds of raucous life can settle and be at home with me. And if you were of a mind, you could come off the long road and say whatever words are in your heart. End poem.
Well, that was beautiful. I'm so glad that we ended up having time for this. You know, there's the really nice nature imagery to start off where, I mean, who doesn't want to live with a creek and the trees? I try to disappear to places like that every weekend if I can. And then thinking, you know, even if I can't have that, having a small plot with a beautiful view of water, absolutely great too. And then the small rectangle by a small tree, like that's still, you're getting that connection with nature. And, you know, it's showing that you're not greedy, you're willing to lower those expectations. You just want that restful place. And I like that you describe it as a place where dreams that were blown by the winds of raucous life can settle. That's a really great line. And then to invite someone along, I think that's a really good ending, because the reader kind of wants that life as well. I think it's a natural kind of reaction of like imagining what it would be like to go to that place and to say whatever words are in your heart. That's a really great ending. Gray Eyes, would you like to comment?
Sure. That was a beautiful poem. Excellent read as well. But I wish I had a home with a creek and a copse of trees. I would settle for a small plot on a hill in the sun with a view of water. I mean, you know, that's everything to so many people. You know, and then to share that with somebody, you know. A place where dreams that were blown by the winds of raucous life can settle and be home with me, be at home with me. And if you were of a mind, you could come off the long road and say whatever words are in your heart. That's beautiful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you so much, Gray and Faziana. And if I could comment real quick myself, actually, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to read this. And the reason I did that is because you guys are such wonderful insight into poetry. I really get a lot out of hearing you talk about poetry. So, and it was important to me because this poem, for me, is very difficult. You know, you put so much into a piece and you hope that people get it, but most of the time they don't. And with this one, some people did and some people did not. And I hope you realize that the small rectangle of ground is actually a cemetery plot. Did any of you guys see that in the poem?
I wondered, and then I was nervous about saying that because people always say I'm too morbid in my responses to things, so I was afraid to ask. But yes, I did think about it. The small rectangular, I did think of that as the cemetery plot. So part of me is really glad that you meant that and I wasn't just being crazy.
I can't speak for anybody else, but when you're talking about my work, you're almost 100% spot on all of the time. So you have total license with me to say whatever you see in my work. So, yeah, I mean, so if you take that into account, right, and you read the rest of the poem, it kind of throws everything else in a different kind of light, don't you think?
Yes. Okay. Well,
okay.
That, yeah, I rejected my own instinct of thinking that it was that. So now I can process again, allowing myself to think that. Yeah, to find that rest in death after a difficult life. And then to have someone maybe visit your grave and tell you what they really felt, or to join you in the next life. Wow. So that it does add depth for sure when that is the grave. And yes, I'm weirdly relieved that that's what you were writing about. So I'm glad that you said.
No, I mean, because, you know, I mean, reading the comments, people, they seem to take of it on the surface of it, right? Like you were saying, it's like a Sylvan kind of a poem. You know, you're talking about nature, being out there in nature. But I'm saying a lot more if you really stop and think about it. And but you know what? I mean, I'm glad that you said that it was beautiful, because I've heard other people say that I've recited that poem in person. They like it. You know, they're not sure about it, but they do like it. So I don't know. You know, because, okay, so it's a poem. It's a poet. Sorry. I'm always trying to calibrate, right? I'm trying to see what people are getting and then what I need to pull back, because I don't want to be too obvious and spell everything out, because that sucks. But then I don't want to be so obtuse, so obscure that nobody gets what I'm trying to say. It's always a balance that I'm trying to work out. So I'm thinking with this one, do I need to change it? Because I don't want to change it. I think it's right the way that it is. What do you think, Kate?
I like the subtlety of it. I do. I really do. Because it's not 100% sure what the rectangle is, but I'm trying to think if there's like a way you can hint just a little bit more, so people know they're on the right track in thinking that. But yeah, I think you did a great job, and I like that it doesn't like hit you over the head with it.
Right. So one of the reasons that I'm really hesitant to make any changes to this poem, because there's only two poems that I've ever written in Sektu. I wrote this poem, and this is exactly what I wrote. I usually, because almost always, I tinker. I change. But with this one, it seems like this is it. And I don't want to touch it if I don't have to, and I'm hoping that I don't have to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I like it. And sometimes it's amazing when things just come out that way. Yeah, I think stick with it. It came out great.
And Gray, do you want to add anything, or?
You know, you really caught me off guard with the being a funeral plot. You know, I wasn't expecting that, quite honestly. I just thought it was a nice place to, you know, kick back your heels after a long life of, you know, turmoil, and share that with somebody who's living. But, a small rectangle of ground in the shade of a small tree. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful resting place. And, you know, to have the one that you love share that place with you is a wonderful thought as well. But, you know, hopefully you shared the life that you wanted together, and, she can come to your side when that time comes for her. But, yeah, it was a beautiful rite. Well done.
Thank you so much. So thank you so much for allowing me to recite that and to share your thoughts with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go now, but soon, I guess.
Just one question before you go. Luke Jr. asked in the group, he said, excellent write, Blue Leader 1, great read 2. As always, you write to inspire. I felt that this write made me smile for the nature, but I definitely saw the other side to it. And then he asked, was this your first write on All Poetry 2?
No. I wrote poem not that long ago, actually. So, I mean, I'm sorry. My first write in what kind of a way? My first write ever? Is that kind of a thing?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not my first write. But I guess it might be my first good poem, maybe. Maybe the first one that's actually good.
No, I've read some of yours before, but maybe it's like your standout. It's extra special. It's like the first one of a step up.
Okay, and with that, I'm gonna go for it.
Okay,
thank you so much,
thanks for calling.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. So our next poem also was not part of the contest, but submitted to be on the show. And this one is called Quiet as the Hanged Man by Sour J. Quiet as the Hanged Man, murdered alphabetically by sleeping tongues, crying in a glass, all of my ugly oils wished away, the sludge raptured against freckle-aligned kisses. Oh, Stangzik, don't I know the softness of news and the trembling from a callous laugh? And who else but the ego in my heart becomes fluent in hatred? I married my past, just like water and sand of the fray of flowing time. I accept their cold yet sweet brainless heart and its beautiful lie of irrelevant price, and watch from my own cancer as the man eating roses kill a siren. End poem.
Well, beautiful read. And, you know, that's a pain-filled write. You know, it, quiet as the hangman, murdered alphabetically by sleeping tongues, dying in a glass, all of my ugly oils wished away. And, sorry, I'm just googling alphabetically. So it doesn't have alphabetically. It has alphabetically, but not alphabetically. So I guess that's his own play on words. But crying in a glass, all my ugly oils washed away, the sludge raptured against my freckle-aligned kisses. Oh, Stanzik, don't I know the softness of news and the trembling from a calloused laugh? And who else but the eagle in my heart becomes fluent in hatred? You know, I married my past, just like water and sand on the fray of flowing time. I accept their cold yet sweet brainless heart and its beautiful lie of irrelevant price, and watch from my own cancer as the man eating roses kill a siren. Yeah, haunting, right? You know, I had to Google Stanzik, and it's a painting that was done by somebody in the 1800s. It was it says, with a Polish court jester, the most famous in Polish history. He was employed by three Polish kings, Alexander, Sigmund the Old, and Sigmund Augustus. The jester is depicted as the only person at a royal ball who is troubled by the news that the Muscovites have captured Smolensk. This event happened in 1514. But he says it was born in 1480 and died in 1560. Wow. So, you know, that's different from what I got the first time I searched it. This one says, Stanzik. Stanzik is a painting by Jan Matejko, finished in 1862. This painting was inspired by acquired by the Warsaw National Museum in 1924. During the World War, it was looted by Nazis and subsequently by the Soviet Union, but it was returned to Poland around 1956. So there's a lot to this poem, for sure. And it's definitely, you can feel the pain in it, you know, as he watches from his own cancer. That's hard-hitting and tragic, for sure. So I thought it was fantastic, right? Definitely emotes a lot of feelings and carries a breath of darkness with it. So great job. And what did you think of Asiana?
I really enjoyed it. Actually, originally, Sour J had written this in just the group chat of another group that we're in together. And I said, I love that. And they asked if it could be on one of my shows. And so I said, yes, make it a poem, and then we'll do that. Because it was just something that they wrote in the chat, just kind of freestyling it, you know, as we do in Rap Free. And I just thought it was amazing. I liked the made-up word alphabetically. It's like, it's alphabetically, but also like kind of like murdered alphabetically by sleeping tongues. So it's those, it's like being killed by words that people aren't saying, the sleeping tongues, people are not acknowledging them. So I thought that was really interesting. And then Stanksic part, I also had to look up, and I'm glad that you went into that, Gray, and gave us the history, because I think that's really important to this. I think, don't I know the softness of news, and to consider himself connected to Stanksic, you know, kind of makes sense to me, because Sour J is a bit of a jester, always making jokes and having, like, a dark sense of humor and being silly, but at the same time is also quite a serious person. And you can see that in some of Sour J's poetry and songs that they write. So I really find that interesting that he makes that connection with this jester who's actually sad, especially because the jester was sad because of the news that other people are just kind of not responding to. So while the things in the world that are happening don't seem to upset other people, here Sour J is having big feelings. And then I really loved become fluent in hatred. Ego in my heart becomes fluent in hatred. I thought that was wonderful. The end too, the man eating roses kill a siren. And also I know from things in the chat that cancer is a serious subject for SJ right now in life. And so to include that in this, I know that it was a very personal poem, and I appreciate that was shared with us.
Absolutely. Great comment.
So we still have about half an hour. I think I'm going to get into my next contest. I had made two because I wasn't sure about timing, and it's good that I did. The next prompt was, "You scare me," he said. "Why?" she asked. "Because I tell you things I can't even tell myself." So for this one, I'm actually going to start with one by Gerald Green because we have an audio on that one. And I didn't pre-read it, but he said it specifically for me and that I'm in it. So I was a little bit nervous about this one, but let's take a look, because apparently I am in it. And here's the audio.
"I Must Admit," written and read by Gerald Green. Something is compelling me tonight, a haunt of darkness, pushing with a force I can't resist. But here it is again, my legs and fingers feeling numb. "It's you. I know it's you. It's time for me to tell Ephesiana. Let her know about our midnight trysts and what you make me do. Secret orders that must be obeyed. Two poets intertwined is never good. Milk and lemonade mixed with a golden spoon. But here we are, calling whatever it is we have, this thing that holds us captive, this web that binds and won't release. We call this love, although it has no touch, but only words. Your poetry is pinned to all my walls. I'm surrounded by your passion, reminded of your deep desires with every breath. You know my secrets, know my inner soul, and draw from me those things I dare not say again. How can you love one so corrupt, so full of what one should avoid? Depression is my closest friend, anxiety my dearest aunt who cares for me and lets me use her room. Oh, that we should ever meet, that we should feel each other's skin. Those thousands of miles that separate are but a trifle on nights like this. Come closer. Tell me what to do, and I will make you happy. Ask me anything and you will sense a joy above all joys. Peel this onion. Find the secret of this night that you can use for full effect to know my love that only grows. I feel frightened. What will you make me do tonight? And yet, here I am, the one who can't resist, who willingly fulfills your every wish. Ask me, darling, and I will tell you all, even what I can't and never have revealed to myself or anyone on Aphasiana's show.
Thank you, Gerald. I thought that was wonderful. I really like that you did the audio for it. Gerald's really great for always doing audios when he can. I think it's kind of fun that he put the show in here and made me a little bit a part of it. I am not the woman of interest. I am just the one who gets the secrets because I tend to do prompts that encourage people to dig deep and think about those hidden parts of themselves, and I am constantly requesting that people share those kind of thoughts for my shows. So I think that in that way he's referring to how the contests bring things out of him that are normally perhaps secret. And he's compelled to write whatever the contests wish. So I thought that was an interesting twist on it, and the way that that's kind of personified into kind of a sensual relationship, which, FYI, we do not have. sorry, Gerald. I thought that he did a really great job at expressing that. My favorite part was, depression is my closest friend. Anxiety, my dearest aunt, who cares for me and lets me use her room. Because I've heard of depression as being someone's friend, but to have anxiety being the aunt really works out nicely. I like that description of it, personification of the feelings. What did you think, Gray Eyes?
Sorry, I was on mute. I enjoyed the poem. It, you know, it shows a deep reverence and respect for you and what you bring out in him. So I thought he captured that quite beautifully and shared it brilliantly. So great job and an excellent read as well. I enjoyed his voice.
Me too. He has really great audios. We've been fortunate to have him on many of the shows. All right. So now I have one by CRL17. And I'll get you to read that, Gray.
Okie dokie. 1 second while I put my phone into desktop mode. All right. We have Just Words by CRL17. He has a picture in his poem that says, you scare me, he said. Why, she asked. Because I tell you things I can't even tell myself. So I guess that's your poem, right? I mean, your contest. It's happening again, that age-old feeling, boy meets girl attraction. I've gone too far. My heart is reeling. A simple love reaction. I could run away, but what's the use? Are emotions real? What's the truth? You certainly amaze me. Your thoughts are very clear. Didn't think that you phased me, though your words were so sincere. Some say it's a natural feeling to be so afraid of you. There are moments that scare me and things I'd never do. End poem.
Excellent read. Thank you. I like how it says, your thoughts are very clear. Didn't you think he phased me through your words? Were though your words were so sincere. So, it, you know, sometimes you don't expect someone to get right to the heart of things, and then when you feel that they're sincere and that they're giving you their true thoughts, it feels really amazing, and there's this connection that you're not expecting to happen so quickly. And then it's a little bit scary when you aren't ready to have strong feelings for someone yet. Some say it's a natural feeling to be so afraid of you. The things that are scary are sometimes the best things, but there is definitely a strong fear here. At the end, it seems like they're not going to go for it. But really, a well done response to the prompt. And what did you
Absolutely.
Think, Ray?
I enjoyed the poem. You know, love can be scary for sure. You know, it's some say it's a natural feeling to be so afraid of you. There are moments that scare me and things I'd never do. You know, we can never truly know ourselves unless we leap into that unknown and, you know, see what becomes of it. And love is one of those things that, you know, you definitely want to put your best foot forward in the leap and just go for it. I mean, you know, fear is something that needs to be conquered at all costs. And so I thought it was wonderful, right? You know, filled with emotion and respect of the one that he loves, you know. It's definitely a powerful rite. You know, it really captures the imagination and takes you along on his journey of fear in his relationship. So well done.
I agree. Our next poem to the same prompt is Looking In on Life, The Things I Cannot Tell You by Ben Hart. A collection of poetry, memories, and otherwise lonely moments. 1. Fade, unfade. So alone that the walls know the touch of his hand as a friend and foe alike, a gentle tracing, an anguish strike, and so they have learned not to trust the shadow in the halls. Who doesn't care to know where he stands? Because to the tunnel, there's no end, no shepherd of light, just wallpapered bricks and shadows, walking in line with him, always there. The best of him so far ahead into never, the worst mere steps behind, and though the walls played Auld Lang Syne as a jab God had thought clever, the echoes of an ending haunting the thing that went on forever. As though it was the only song that was true. But sometimes, through the cracks, out there in the rooms painted black, he'd hear someone sing either one of two beautiful tunes and enjoyed that somehow she mastered Al Sund, but got the words wrong to fade into you. I think it's strangers you never knew. And he took that to be true. And whenever he'd hear her again, shadows waltz between those walls, and through the brick, and though the bricks just sang louder, he never again let himself be phantom. He'd pick himself up, should he stumble, and imagine this infernal march into the empty was really a crawl across the mountains. And the higher he climbed on weary feet, the more he felt himself steady, the more she left him bereaved, the more he was unstunned, and before he'd had the thought that he was ready, he started running to take his place on a stage called Stunning. 2. Smoke Signals, Highway 6. Why, Ben? Why? What was it that grew your walls so high to the point you were giving up again, like bark and brush in pursuit of light, never to reach the sky? And your world got so small, you were in a rush to sleep with the fireflies, when suicide was no longer just a romance with death, but a look in the mirror and you sent me smoke signals every night. Please come pick me up. I cannot breathe. I'm not all right. And you say loving me is easy because I'd never leave out of the blue. But, baby, I don't need to because you're already leaving. Saying, let me die on a day I don't know the date of, a day I wasn't glad to see lost. Should I take Highway 6 to heaven and there's a white guy in the sky? I'll sober up. Until then, I will run from hell behind my eyes, where the devil lives making songbirds from the good men with guns. Only a bullet can kill the light in my mind. And killing yourself just lands you back in hell. So what's the fucking point of it? Well, Ben, see you in hell, I guess. I thought I already meant nothing, but now I see it's even less. You could have chased the suns out west. You could have loved me. And if you did, you should have said. But you chose to expand your emptiness, to include all of us. And forgive me, man, but I can't find the love in that. I thought for sure on my wedding night we'd be smoking one. You shouldn't have fucking gone. You should have fucking called. You stupid fucking idiot. I would have come running to talk about Kenobi and Maul and how we were kind of living it. And I really hope in the moments I plan on following, you will visit already to tell me that life is a busy thing and not worth missing out on for anything. And then again, had you ever meant it, the same should have gone for me. 3. Time. The woe of the Ronin, some say, was the inspiration for the rain, and the wrath of old Yushia did the same for the fire and the flame. But that the stars were built by man, machine of nature, at war against the dark God's hollow, where love is cold, and in the luminant tongues our minds have jettisoned, but our eyes remember the signs of motion in every ember's fleeting song. Those machines are singing, though our bodies are of stone. We still scar. We still fade into ashes. Find a wind to follow and a last horizon to hold. But time moves as slowly as you let it. And if you just imagine you're waiting for something that will never come, and a life no longer measured in time, but in distance, in the motion it created, and these beings, born from confinement, in absolute nothingness, are the proof that oppression is life's breeding ground, and depression is just the absence of a vacuum, somewhere to exist in. Untorn from alignment, but in orbit of everything that ever loved, to be spun around, to be undone, in doleful requiem when the end has come and our passing will be a loving one. Unbodied, but not unminded. Some say when a star dies, it becomes a million little fireflies. But I'm beginning to think all those guys were demented because those lights in the sky are not machines. They are divine diamonds that time invented to pass the time. 4. Night. There a fox sits in the night, watching river run from evils it knows not, wiping the blood off its mouth, dreading the coming dawn, where it has to live with what it's done, envying river for its ignorance, for its numb. 5. Dawn. In the dim, the bugs dare sing, for the birds are still at roost, but when the depth retreats and the symphonies stop, for the choirs and the canopies will start up soon. And that is a performance they won't miss, because if all they are is food, why not feel it all? From predators in concert to the end, all there is the moment they simply no longer exist. 6. Morning. Mama, if it rains today, do I have to bring my jacket to school? Yes, silly, otherwise you'd catch a cold. But if I go home from school and it's not raining, yes, dear, what do I do with it? You tie one end around your wrist and the other around your sister's. So if the pools on the streets are like little lakes of light, you can always pull each other out, okay? Okay, Mama. 7, noon, almost there. The shadow, the stain of a searchlight shining down. So you know that even roads unknown, you've either been here before or showing the way to your next iteration. And there is happiness in this loneliness. It's not a desolate elation. It's not an empty place. And even though you are away, you get to be here now. And you may look for Vincent's meadows in closer places, for in some life he's painted them. And in another, or perhaps in most, you would have been his favorite thing to paint. 8. Evening. Every week is a war for the plates on the shelf or the hinges on the door, a house where we fought each other but had to battle ourselves, where they just keep calling, medic, until my heart had lost its healing and my lungs lost their feeling, and at least they get to weep, rage, and bleed, whereas I just ache and dream, no longer the person they need because I didn't do it right. I was always leaving, and those little what-if suicides began to look a lot like freedom. Freedom from gravity that takes the clouds somewhere we cannot see into time's eternal fiefdom. 9. The leap. Come find me at the crossroads. My love, I watch heaven's dance around impossible wildfires, gardens of flame, immovable objects, unstoppable forces, destroyers that maintain every vibrant night. But should clouds gather from afar, overhead simply to weigh like bombers to lead me into death and tear me from love, I shall only need the look in your eyes and find that it is the depth that binds it, the way to go that keeps us going. And some would say stars were the scars of depression. But you'd say when the tide is low, you best start rowing. If you want to drown at midnight in between two depths, that's where heaven is, at the crossroads, the courtyards, and the cliffs. And had I fallen even more in love with you, I don't think this garden of flame could have sustained it. For I was just a wicker man, and you were my hurtful purpose in the bitter hunt that is beauty. My love, it's you. The rest is worthless. 10. Ready? In the end, how loving that something as delicate as life is the only thing that ever hurts us. So we wouldn't fear death, her oldest friend. 11. Nowhere I'd rather be. And where this week I spent digging tunnels to escape the breach, right now? There is nowhere I'd rather be. In this now, there was you, and there was me. In a quiet Eden beyond the city, where the skies put on a performance, something so haunting, it may have been too beautiful. But I assure whoever meant for it to happen, it wasn't wasted on me. Even the signs missed and the moments forgotten, I take them with me into the mists and out of my blood. 12. Dare find something loving in every day. It's beautiful, my world. And though I take pride in my expression, secondhand, if you're lucky, it's better. If they were loved instead of a possession, so I gladly let go of my world to let them in. And it will change, perhaps hasten, but I cannot dismiss what it could have become. Sometimes the most beautiful things were masterfully imperfected, and I felt too small for such deep feelings, that in the equation, I was only the something wrong, until surrender, until I started humming along. End poem. Oh my gosh, Ben, that was a novel. you're lucky that you're a really great writer, because that was insanely long. I'm going to have to write a comment, because that is just overwhelming amount of poetry. Wonderful job. Way too long, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. Gray Eyes, would you like to comment? You're muted. Sorry, I think we lost Gray. So,
Goodness. I'm sorry. I just had a Nobel Prize-winning comment there. But no, I said This is definitely a Ben poem for sure. I said Pam read one earlier that was two stanzas, and she said, "Oh my God, that's the end," you know, because it was Ben. But he's such a deep and intellectual thinker. You know, he really goes to depth of, in his rights and his thoughts and getting those out to the world. But in his author's notes, he says, all these woes, they keep us going. It's a war, not a hobby. And, oh, sorry, a hobby, art. But when it moves with us, there is no greater sense of purpose in the world to me. Then, and only then, I am at home. I am loved. I am eternal. Powerful comment. And, you know, definitely love the world that you're in and, you know, love every day and cherish it for sure. It's a beautiful thought. And, you know, love willingly and freely, you know. Love everything, even though it's hurtful and painful, you know. It has its purpose in our life for some reason or another, and we just have to find that purpose and then go with that. So I thought it was fantastic. Right, you did a great read on that, Fajana. You know, it is a novel for sure, but you did a great job of reading it. So thank you for sharing that, Ben.
I've been telling him he needs to publish his stuff as a book. He definitely has enough content, and it's quality. So, Ben, you got to get that together because I will buy it for sure. This has been a great night of poetry. I've really enjoyed the poems that we've read. I have lots more to carry over for next week that were from that same prompt. So if you did not get yours read tonight, I'm sorry, Luke. I really wanted to do yours next, and I only have 2 minutes left. So if yours was not read, then we are going to do it next week, and that will be awesome to have so many wonderful writes. I can already tell that it's going to be a good night. Thank you so much, Gray Eyes Smith, for filling in with Babbler Away. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to be here.
Well, it was great to have you, and also thank you to Blue Leader One for calling in and reading your own poetry and helping us with the others as well. So that's all for us tonight. We have poetry every night on Late Night Poets, so please stay tuned and check out allpoetry.com. Good night.
Good night, Afisiana.